Hello and welcome to the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, dedicated to bringing you the best unsigned music from the Birmingham area of the UK. In this podcast, we interview local bands and artists to find out more about them and get a little taste of their music. Birmingham Unsigned is run on a voluntary basis, and all of our content is completely, absolutely free. But it does cost money to have things like a website going and to help promotion. And if you wanted to support us, there are a couple of ways you can do that. I'll mention those ways at the end of the podcast. So, we're pleased and excited to welcome to the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, Jack Cattell. Jack, am I saying that right? Is it Cattell?
You are. You're one of the few that's got it right, mate. To be honest, I get all sorts of variations over the years. I've had Cottle, Cottrell, Cattle, everything. So, yeah, fair play to you. Got it right the first time, mate.
Blimey. I always like to check just in case. And is it just you that does all the music that I've been hearing on Spotify? Or do you have session musicians? Do you have friends that help you write? Or is it all done just by you?
Initially, it started off just as me. I mean, I've been doing this for about 4 years solo. I got in touch with Sam Stringer, who records and produces our music from the Amp Studio. So good old Mr. Daniels, and the EP that we released was all done by me and Sam. And then I've got the band in now. So I've got Josh on drums and Ali on bass. So the latest single that we've released called Love Me, that's a full band affair. And it will be from now on.
Fantastic. And you're based around Birmingham. Where exactly are you based?
I'm from Walsall, so not too far out of Birmingham.
We'll allow that as part of Birmingham Unsigned. We don't mind. That's okay. And I guess you're currently working on promoting the latest single, are you?
We've been doing a promotion campaign for that for 2 months now. It was released at the end of February. So what we wanted to do with this single was try and get it bigger and better than what we've released previously. And we set sort of a target, I'd say, for how many streams we wanted to hit. And that was 10,000. And we hit that, I think it was 2 weeks ago now.
Fantastic.
We managed to hit 10,000 streams on Spotify, which is a big achievement for us. It doesn't seem like that big a number when you put it into context of how many streams, say, Ed Sheeran or the biggest artists out there are getting. But you know, you've got to take these small steps and try and build your way up. And for that, that's a big milestone. So we're just going to keep pushing on now and hopefully hit 25,000 in the coming months.
Now, that is an amazing milestone. And it'd be good to see it grow and see that. I love to see our Brummie artists grow and get those figures up. And it just feels nice to know that there's a bit of a buzz around artists that are local.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
So why is it that you do what you do? Why is it that you do music? Can you sort of tell me the story behind how you came to be doing music?
I've loved music ever since I was a kid. I think like anyone, you listen to it in the car on the way to school and whatnot. My dad's always been very, very into his music. He's had guitars and instruments around the house since I can remember. And I started off learning how to play bass because my dad used to really, really pressure me, and he was like, oh, you need to play guitar, learn how to play guitar, come on, I'll teach you how to play guitar. And I just never had any interest in it, to be honest, in learning how to play guitar. So I learned how to play bass. I still love playing bass to this day, but I started writing a few songs when I was about 14, but you can't really play bass, and it doesn't sound full enough to have just a bass guitar and your song. So
yeah, it's hard to get a full sound with a bass, isn't it?
It's really difficult. So I learned how to play a few chords on a guitar, and then took it from there, and I never really looked back from then. I was about 14-15 at the time when I started learning how to play guitar, and to be honest, I don't really touch my bass that much anymore. Lockdown's got me back into it a little bit. I'm sure you've seen on socials and that I've been recording some like full band covers from home. So I've got into playing my bass again, but yeah, I'm just so into my guitars now that it's crazy to think that once upon a time I was that against learning guitar. it's a bit mad.
Yeah, opinions change over time, don't they?
They do, yeah.
So we're going to play some little snippets of three of your songs. Which song do you want me to play a snippet from first?
We've just been talking about Love Me, so play a little clip of the latest single.
Fantastic. Here's a little clip from Love Me. I can't help you cause I will be the oxygen. You're gonna need to fuel that fire. Come on, love me. You make me feel alive. Come on, love me. I need us to survive. So come on, love me. Don't show me to the door. Come on, love me. Don't leave me wanting. Right, so that was a little bit from Love Me. Is there a story behind the song? Is it anyone in particular that it's about?
I suppose I can say it's about my girlfriend, can't I? That'll always.
That's very diplomatic if it's not true. Yeah.
It was one of them. The chorus just came to me. I've got a chord structure down for it, and I was just playing these same four chords over and over again, trying to come up with some sort of lyrics to it. And yeah, I'll just come up with the lines, and it just seemed to fit into place so quickly. And the song, it took me about half an hour to write. It came to me so quickly. But yeah, there's not really much story behind it. I try and separate from my songs a little bit nowadays. Because when I first started out, I mean, a lot of the early tracks that I released, I felt some of them were a bit too heartfelt, and
okay.
I got myself wrapped up in it a bit, especially the angry songs. The work did get a bit personal, so I tried to detach myself a little bit from it. Obviously, there's still some feeling in them,
because
otherwise I wouldn't be able to write. I struggle writing just random songs, so there's still some feeling behind them. And like I say, it all come. I'd just met my girlfriend at the time that I wrote it, so it probably was subconsciously written about her.
As well as releasing the stuff that you release on Spotify and so on, before the coronavirus hit, of course, did you do gigs? Are you gigging regularly?
Yeah, we try and gig as much as we can. I do quite a lot of covers work just to pay the bills, and then we get the band gigs on. Now that we've got the band together, we get the band gigs on as frequently as we can to try and keep people interested. And we've been doing really well. The start of this year, before all this hit, we did the Discover Birmingham show at the Sunflower Lounge with Alex Ohm, who's a good mate of ours from the Black Country.
Great.
I think I'm right in saying we were the first show to sell out before the night. There was about 150 people packed into the Sunflower Lounge. It was certainly a night to remember. We it looked like we were going to kick on, and then all this stuff happened. And what can you do?
We've
been planning for sort of 2021 in the hope that gigs will be back by then. Because that's the problem with it. We just don't know when we're going to be able to get back out playing. It's especially with all the social distancing. It's going to be a funny few months, if not year or so.
Yeah,
it's come back to normal.
Yeah, it's a challenging time at the moment, and it's one of the reasons why I like doing what I'm doing with Birmingham Unsigned. It's a way of getting people listening to new stuff without necessarily getting out to gigs and so on. Have a drink at home and put on a playlist, and away you go.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Of course, it's a challenging time at the moment with coronavirus, but I mean, music and being successful in music is challenging anyway. And what sort of other challenges have you faced in your musical journey so far? I mean, have you had rough gigs, people quitting on you, things like that? Any interesting stories?
Oh, I've got plenty of interesting stories. How long you got? Yeah, we've got a few interesting gigs. I mean, from my solo days when it was just me. I've been playing open mics and stuff, and been threatened to have chairs thrown at me and all sorts. You get some crazy ones. You get the odd gig where you're playing to just yourself and the barman. But that's starting out, you know. And I don't think I'd have liked it, and I don't think I'd be, especially where I am now, and be able to carry a crowd like I do if I hadn't have had that grounding.
Yeah.
To start with, where. Yeah, it's just you playing in front of an empty room. Because, you know, you're not going to get these big gigs like every single day of the week. If you're trying to make it, you know, you've got to be prepared to be playing in front of 10 people.
Yeah.
Whether it be 10 people or 1,000 people, I'd like to think that, especially myself, my band included, that we can perform in front of however many people are there, even if it was just us in the room.
Yeah.
We'd still put on a show. Because we've had that grounding where you have these rough gigs where there's not many people there and you're a bit slumped out and you're not really up for it, but you get yourself up for it.
Yeah.
That's what we do at the end of the day. And if you do want to be successful, you've got to put on the same show for 10 people that you would for 1,000.
Yeah. And I've said it in other interviews as well. Sometimes those gigs with the smaller, more intimate crowds are some of the best gigs for the people watching and can be some of the best gigs for the performers as well. If you can really feel like you've got a connection, can't you?
Yeah, it's a bit more intimate. I mean, like I say, I don't see a difference between 10 people and 1,000 people because, yeah, like you said there, you can have that bit more intimacy, you can have that bit more communication between yourself and the crowd sometimes when there's 10 people there compared to 1,000, because you can hear what they're saying.
Yeah, and the hope
it's
is
not a crowd.
Yeah,
where they're all overpowering you, so it's certainly different. And I'm sure, like any other band, the more people that you get at a gig, the better it's going to be. But I definitely don't enjoy the gigs where there's less people there at all.
Yeah. And the hope is, of course, that those 10 people go off as really happy punters who've just had a really good intimate gig, and they're going to go off and be some of your best promoters. And it can sometimes actually pay dividends, I think, having a really good gig to small crowds.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to play another little snippet of one of your songs. What's the next song that you'd like me to play a bit from?
We'll go with Royal Highness, Your Royal Highness. I think that is probably one of my favourite recorded tracks that we've got so far.
Fantastic. Here's a little clip from Your Royal Highness.
Down on my knees, saying please, forgive me. Don't talk about
So that was a clip from Your Royal Highness. So have you got any other tips for any of our other Brummie bands and artists that might be listening to help them move forwards to a place where you've got to?
I think you've got to make the right connections. I feel that's one thing that as a band we do brilliantly. We make a lot of friends on the scene. Like I mentioned to you earlier, Alex Owen, when we played with him, the Jack Fletcher band as well, who are another sort of Wolverhampton based band, Ryan Evans, Candid from Coventry. We seem to make a lot of connections, and I think that's vital. You've got to have the balls and to go up to people and start a conversation with them.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're interested in them and they're not just like you're just waiting and you feel like you're privileged or you deserve something. You know, you've got to work for it.
Yeah.
I think hard work in anything, people will always, it's an old cliche, isn't it, that if you work hard and good things will come to you. But it really is that in this industry, the harder you work, it doesn't matter about how talented you are. It's about how much you want it and how hard you work. Cause I guarantee there's plenty of better bands out there than we are, better than us. Whether that be technically better than us or they've got better songs than us or whatever. But I'd like to think that, and I pride myself on the fact that we work just as hard as the best bands in the world do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where we've got an edge on some of the bands that perhaps just want to do it for a drink or just enjoy doing it. We want to make something of it. And I feel like the hard work that we put in shows in the music that we produce. I'd like to think so anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're working really hard at it. Let's say that you fast forward to 10 years in the future. You've been working really hard at it for 10 years from today. And you're still in the same place where you are today. You don't feel like you've succeeded. Do you still keep on going?
Of course you do. I mean, this is what I enjoy doing. And it's not only what I enjoy doing, but it's what I want to make a living out of. And I think a lot of bands or kids growing up into bands perhaps do it for the wrong reasons, and maybe they just want fame or a bit of notoriety from people. But we do it for the love of doing it. Whether we're still playing to, you know, 100 people in 10 years' time, or whether we're playing to thousands of people in 10 years' time, that doesn't make a difference to me.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to do this as a job and, you know, not have a normal job in quotation marks.
Yeah.
I just want this to be my job. And if we can earn a living from it, traveling around the country, playing shows, then so be it. It doesn't really bother me how many people are listening, as long as they're enjoying it.
Yeah. And when you're not being musical, what is it that you're doing? I mean, you don't have to tell me exactly what your job is and so on, but what sort of stuff are you doing when you're not musical?
Massive football fan, mate. obsessed with football. Love playing football and watching it. So I'm not sure if I should say that I'm a massive Wolves fan, but there we go. We're doing all right at the moment.
You could split your audience a bit, couldn't you?
Yeah. But yeah, massive Wolves fan. So I'm always off up the Wolves of a weekend when we're not gigging. Going to support my local team.
And which other artists inspire you? It could be sort of local artists or, you know, famous artists. Where do you get your inspiration from?
Again, how long you got?
let's say a shortlist. Let's say top three.
Top three. I'd say Tom Grennan, who's a mainstream artist now. He massively inspired me. His music's brilliant and I could listen to him all day. Some of the newer bands on the unsigned scene, probably I'd say Alex Ohm and probably Candid. I find myself listening to them quite a lot. So if you've got a spare minute, go and check them out. Brilliant local artists. And for a bit of a blast from the past, one of my favourite bands of all time, the Kinks.
Love a bit of Kinks. So we're going to play a little bit of a third song. What's your third song we're going to play a snippet from?
Yeah, it's the Cowboy Blues.
I'm going, but the hike goes on. The whirlwind is blowing, and while the night is young, well, I don't know where I'm going, don't know where I belong. But I'll just keep on walking until I find a home.
So that was a clip from the Cowboy Blues. So before we wrap up, how can everybody hear more about you? Is there a website? Do you point people towards your socials? How does everyone get in touch with you and hear more about you?
At the moment, we're just pushing socials. We're trying to sort out the website. We had a few problems with it back a day. So it's still in the works, the website is, and then it'll be sort of a hub for everyone to go off from there. But for now, socials, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. SoundCloud, if people want to get us on SoundCloud and Spotify, just type in Jack Cattell and I'm sure you'll find it.
I think that about wraps it up for today. Thank you so much, Jack Cattell, for talking to us, talking to our audience. Anything you'd like to sign off with?
No, just thank you very much for having me. I hope everyone's staying safe and staying well.
It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. You have a great day.
You too, mate. Thank you very much.
I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that there are some ways that you can support Birmingham Unsigned. Firstly, you could donate money through PayPal by going to our paypal.me link. The link is paypal.me/BrumUnsigned. If you did want to make a more regular donation, we would be very, very grateful. You can do that through our Patreon page. You can access that from patreon.com/BirminghamUnsigned. If you or any band or artist that you know would like to be interviewed on the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, then drop us an email. It's brumunsigned@gmail.com and we'll get something sorted. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. I look forward to having you here again for the next one. Stay awesome.